The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Quite right, too. Jenny Finch, ace author, creator of the Drowners series, I'd say quadrilogy, soon to be with Alex Hastings and so on, could be pentology, who knows. How's life in Saltburn?
It's remarkably nice. All the clouds have blown away. It's like a spring morning up here. It's beautiful. Come and join me.
Exactly. Proving that time zones irrelevant, as it happens to be 2 minutes, in fact, nearly 3 minutes past five here in Lincoln, about 130 miles north of the whole scenario. It's like the morning time. It's brilliant. It's just awesome. Holly, how is life now that you're a quarter of the way through your final year here at the University of Lincoln?
It's really stressful, to be honest with you, but I think, you know, one day at a time.
And you're in a similar position to our public relations level three student, of course, Fiona Williams. How are you finding life, Fiona? Because when we last spoke, you were saying you're having an existential crisis.
Yep, still in the middle of that, but getting along fine.
What better way to actually deal with an existential crisis than to actually take part in the midweek drive? Jenny, as a tutor, somebody who's sort of really sussed in herself, what advice would you give our two midweek driveouts there in their third year, final degree? It all seems as though it's all too much, whether you're doing media production or public relations and so on. What's the Jenny Finch advice?
My advice would be set yourself small tasks. And so it's a small amount of a piece of work. Then do a slightly different piece of work and then give yourself a treat and enjoy that. Take a deep breath, come back and do it again. So it's work, work, treat, repeat. And you'll find it's much easier because nothing quite gets hold of you, hangs onto your brain and goes, you have to do me till you can't sleep.
Do you know that's almost the same advice that Julie Gordon provides all her team, especially events and conferencing officer for the communications developing and marketing team, development and marketing team. That would be Sam Biggs. Sam, welcome officially to the Midweek Drive. You're here to talk about some of the fabulous events that are upcoming and which might even attract ace people like Jenny Finch to say, what the hey, I'll come back down to Lincoln again just to sort of see what magical things we can actually encounter with the great live series and more.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on the show today. We've had quite a few great lives, lots of events happening this lately. We had Tom Heap and Stuart Lee in last week. We've got obviously Chris Packham in on the 31st of October, Great Lives All About Bats and Owls Halloween special. Unfortunately, that event is fully booked and the waiting list is fully booked, so that's on the back of last year's success.
You see, clearly, not only is Chris Packham appearing on the front cover of the Radio Times this week, which is nice, you know, obviously you've put together the dynamic duo of Country Files, Ellie and Autumn Watchers, Chris, but I noticed also, using his bat strategy, he also appears in this month's Empire magazine.
He does, yeah, it seems like he's very much hot topic at the moment.
Just like the University of Lincoln. Are you a Chris Packham fan, Jenny?
I am indeed. I find him very clever and very engaging.
And indeed, he's pretty much a regular as far as the University of Lincoln is concerned. He's also become one of our visiting professors and so on. How long have you been with the august institution that is the University of Lincoln yourself, Sam?
Well, I actually studied my undergraduate degree here from 2013 to 2016. Graduated, joined the events team as an assistant, and I'm here now as an events conferencing officer, so...
And what was your course of study?
Business management.
Oh, I see. So there is proof that there's life after graduation.
Absolutely.
You're a living incarnation of that fact. Jenny, would you like to quiz Sam on some of the other exciting things that, you know, as events and conferencing officer, some people just think all they do is just prepare from one open day to another open day and then another open day and yet another open day and then probably graduation ceremonies in January and in September as well from that perspective. But no, there's much more than that. And Jenny, it falls to you to use your journalistic training to just get some of those information factors out. Over to you, Miss Finch.
Well, I've been to a few conferences at a few campuses, mainly in special needs and psychology work, which is my other hat, and I was wondering how you managed to fit it all in with all the other stuff like the open days, the graduations and the students. It must be a logistical nightmare.
Yes, it is. I'd say it's all to do with the planning. So a good plan delivers a good event. So you know what you're doing. You utilise in every time that you have in the office. You don't have too much of it.
Every second counts.
Exactly.
Squeeze
that.
The juice out of everyone. It's phenomenal. Any particular highlights for yourself that you're looking at? I mean, we mentioned Chris Peckham. Stuart Lee, I think, was extremely popular. I would have been there myself, but I was supporting various other colleagues with the joys of Peter Hitchens, who was here at the same time. It was like a spot for choice, really, in many ways. Where would you actually sort of, from your own perspective, Sam, say, I'm really looking forward to that one?
It's like asking
to choose an author between their favourite books, basically. Exactly. It's not going to happen. Exactly. Is it the death of the Elver Man? Is it the Drowners? Just don't know where we're going. Over to yourself, Holly. Filmmaker, writer, etc. Jenny's an author. I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should be working together on that. What do you look for when you're actually looking for a screenplay to develop? Because clearly you're more of a media production maker.
You're definitely visuals from that point of view if you're transferring it into moving image. But as a question, how often do you look at influence from, William Blake here? We've got information on that, your connection.
We were so wonderful going into William Blake had Jason Whittaker been with us. Tragically, Jason can't make it here, and you're quite right, there was a fascinating William Blake connection. But we can tease ahead. We can tease ahead to a few weeks, exactly. Well said, Ollie.
As a writer, how often do you look at influences from previous writers who have been successful?
You try not to do it too often, but you can't escape the fact that you're standing on the shoulders of other people. There are always distinct parallels between one author's characters and another, if you can only tease them out. You just try not to make it too obvious. And there are moments where you look and you go, oh, I wish I could nick that, but you try not to. That's plagiarism in any shape or form.
Well said, Miss Finch. Well said. Fiona, hopefully you can now hear everybody perfectly well again. It's great. It's wonderful stuff. Fiona, we've shared with us, your group before, but originally from the United States, now living in Edinburgh, studying in Lincoln, and a keen horse rider.
Yes.
So, surely, Jenny, that's got to be the topic of a novel from any sort of writer's perspective.
How do you fit it all in? I'm just knocked over, impressed.
Thank you very much. No, surprisingly, I've held on to my American accent quite strongly, despite being here for almost 10 years.
You know, she's so Scottish, it's unbelievable. Really. I always felt as though, oh, hi, the new, right away from the start there. So you see yourself very much, I'm getting a withering look there. If we had a webcam set up, you would have seen the withering look, which I actually thought only you could self, Jenny, could give me a withering look across the studio. No, I've had an equal one from Fiona Williams. In terms of the time thing, how have you found your last 2 years at the University of Lincoln? Enjoyable? Positive?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I mean, there have been so many amazing opportunities that have been set up from, the events team and things like that, and amazing people and connections and stuff like that. It's been very good, for sure.
Well, that's all we need to say. And it's going to get even better because we've got William Coles, who actually is in Edinburgh, who's going to be joining us in a matter of moments, all being well. We've got Annette Andre, who's going to be talking about her recent trip to Portmeirion to be part of the 50th anniversary celebrations of the Prisoner TV series. We've got the news from the Siren team. We've got Paul Zollo, Larry Nemechek, and Phil Leonis. Holly, would you like to put those last two questions to Jenny Finch, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have very much indeed.
And will we be able to have you back again sometime soon?
I would be honoured. Thank you.
Together, and I
see, Sam, you could really actually have that at the start of every morning. You know, mention it to Julie Corden. She could actually launch with that round the office, a kind of silent disco with Hall & Oates and You Make My Dreams Come True. It could be a theme.
I'm sure we'd motivate the whole office.
Yeah, you see, that's where you should be going. Somebody who always makes dreams come true because he's an author, he's a creator, he opens up so many wonderful things. He lives in Edinburgh. It's William Coles. How are you, William?
I'm very good shape, thank you, Alex.
Good. Well, for once, William, we've got somebody who also lives in Edinburgh, although she started life in America, as we've said many times. Which state in America, Fiona?
Kansas City, Missouri,
all the way to Edinburgh, Great Britain, near London. yes, we have Fiona Williams, who actually has a copy of Dave Cameron's School Days, which she's kind of perused, but at the same time came back and said she likes more stuff of which you have composed, William. So, Fiona, what have you found out about your fellow citizen of Edinburgh, that man called William Coles?
When I was looking into him for today, I was more interested in the fact that you said you're more drawn into writing love stories and stuff like that now. And you had mentioned the well-tempered clavier.
That's right.
And that's something I definitely would like to read. I read like the blurb of it on Amazon. It seems very interesting.
Well, yeah, it's a cracking story of first love, and like all stories of first love, it goes horrifically wrong.
Yeah, well, as I say, just don't get started. It's Halloween, it's a scary story, it's a line on an entirely different routine. Fiona, any questions you'd like to put to the Coalmeister about life, the universe, and indeed how Edinburgh is when you're not there? Because obviously Edinburgh is without Fiona Williams, the flags are at half-mast. You know, now the reason is it's like when the Queen isn't in residence.
Well, why Edinburgh? Like, were you born and raised there?
No, I certainly was not born up here. No, the first time I came up here was 16 years ago when I came to play golf with a mate who worked on one of the Scottish newspapers. And on the Saturday night, he invited his boss over for dinner. And within the year, I had married this boss, and we'd had our first kid, and that is why I'm in Edinburgh.
It's a great place to stay.
Those hormones, they really cannot be trusted in any way.
I'm a plunger.
As long as we're not using the prefix sink before then, all's well with the world. You've got to dive in from that perspective. Holly, any questions you'd like to put to William, who, as we know, is pretty much a regular now as far as the Midweek Drive is concerned because he's graduated to that level of importance?
Have I got my own jingle, by the way?
It's being worked on, William. You know, we wouldn't want us to just release
it
half finished.
Yeah, you said that a year ago.
Exactly. You wouldn't want us to release it half finished, would you? You know, so it'll happen. Don't worry. You know, just have faith. Holly.
How is Edinburgh during Halloween?
Oh, it's terrific. Geysing, they call it up here. I've got a couple of kids, and even the 15-year-old goes out on the rampage and stuff themselves with sweets. And the adults are vying with each other to come out with some pretty good stuff, too. And I've got a mate who's quite a big cheese in banking up here, and he particularly specialises in dressing up as mad old women. And I don't know where he gets his skirts from, but he's sort of very pale and he's got blood over his face. And the first time his younger daughter saw him, she burst into tears. So I'm not quite that level. But yeah, I'd go sort of slightly Freddy Krueger-ish, something like that. Yeah, we all get into it.
Mm. I'm Fiona, do you trick or treat in Edinburgh, or is it something which you think, I left that behind in Missouri?
I think I'm a bit past that age, unfortunately.
Well, William clearly isn't. You know, and what about yourself, Sam? I mean, you know, come All Hallows Eve. Did you say it's guising in Edinburgh, Phil? Was that? William, did you say it was guising?
Guising, yes, exactly.
Guising. Have you heard that term, Fiona? Guising?
Mm-hmm.
Just shows, you know, it's a different country, different language. Sam, do you kind of indulge in the Halloween? I mean, there are some images of Julie Corden that I have seen which are, frankly, very scary indeed. You know, that's all I will say. Bless her. One day she'll return to the programme, I'm sure. But yes, from your own...
Put that on hold for a week now,
I'd like to see her in full costume, but that's a personal fantasy. From your own perspective, Sam, Halloween.
Halloween. Mm. Well, of course, I'll be at the Chris Packham All About Bats and Owls.
I'm glad you said that. You see, always on message. Always on message. It's working from that point of view. Because that takes place, obviously, on October 31st.
Yeah, Tuesday, I believe.
Unless
I'm wrong.
Next Tuesday, that's right. And where can people actually... Well, actually, they can't, because it's all sold out.
I know. It's only the listeners that have managed to get the bookings in, but it's over at the LPAC.
Which is, of course, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, because we can't say that phrase that you've just said, because otherwise Craig Moran gets very annoyed when you actually start mentioning that. The fact that it has the letters LPAC written on the building, it's an irrelevancy. It's the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. That's all we can say. It's like we never see the symbol or the old Minerva image on the whole thing. That's verboten.
I didn't know who was allowed to speak about the Minerva.
We don't even mention that now. It's a coat of arms. Sometimes one gets the feeling, William, that it's a Kafka-esque radio service that we have here on Siren Radio, where the time's coming around to 90 minutes past 5 o'clock, and we're just about to talk about the 50th anniversary of the Prisoner television series with Annette André. Does that have any fond memories of stuff for yourself, William, or was it a case of I was far too young for the Prisoner TV series, even the Channel 4 reruns of the 1980s?
Prisoner passed me by. Mm. Terribly sorry. Mm. Terribly sorry. Didn't do it for me. I mean, I was too young for the original, and the one in the 80s, nah.
You were not a number. You were not a free man. You would not be stamped, briefed, debriefed, indexed, or numbered. It's the way of the world. Because she did it so well with Jenny Finch, and she's back into the groove as though she'd never been away. Holly, would you like to put those last two interrogatives to our man in Edinburgh, please?
Have you enjoyed our conversation tonight, William?
I have. Thank you so much for asking me.
You're welcome. And will you be joining us next week?
Well, just as soon as Alex asked me. And by then, you know, I might even have my own jingle. Would you like me to make my own one?
Well, that's a quite interesting sort of line things in terms of that. I tell you what, I'll set to work on producing something in the next few days. If we can get the right voices together, the right voice artists, who knows what could actually happen.
Could I have a choir?
We look at a choir. Would you like to have particular sort of aspects? No, it's all right. Riders on the contracts. We'll get our people to talk to your people, and magic will ensue.
Excellent.
You are number six. designed. I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own. I resign! But I'll tell you why I resign. Ha! Change your mind.
All right, number six, calm down. Of course, it's clearly the case that It's Your Funeral, which opened with the shot of the delicate footsteps of Annette Andre's character heading towards the domesticity of number six, that clearly is the finest episode of the Prisoner series of all time. Isn't that right, Annette?
I thought I heard in that. I heard Patrick's voice and all sorts of things going on in that song. And
It all sorts of things is absolutely right. And before we move into the Annette Andre audio missive, we have to give a little plug to Future 2.0, which Sam Biggs, our events and conferencing officer for the University of Lincoln, would like to promote. Future 2.0, please share with us, Sam.
Future 2.0, yeah, absolutely. So Future 2.0 is happening on Wednesday the 8th of November. It's on the university campus in the Engine Shed. We've got everything in there from gaming to stage combat to a movie maker zone. You can book onto the event by emailing events@lincoln.ac.uk or going straight through the website where there's a booking link on the events listing.
You've got the Oculus Rift, you've got everything.
Absolutely.
Tragically, you don't have Annette Andre, which is clearly...
Unless she's free that day, you can have a special guest.
Fly her over from San Diego now.
San Diego.
we should work through that quite clearly. Meanwhile, Annette, you have been in this country, you've been in Port Marion. I would have caught up with you in Port Marion, but I was committed to the University of Lincoln because I was delivering two talks for the Lincoln Lights package, which Corenza Lewis coordinated, which did Lincoln get hold of technology or science otherwise. But I was there with you in spirit. Did it go well? Annette, are you still there? Have you left us? Has she gone completely? Okay, well, clearly the future is not what we'd anticipated from that sort of point of view. We were all sort of all connected there. Clearly, Annette, is that we'll have to try and reach her again.
I think I brought it up a little bit too much.
We could. It was going swimmingly, and then suddenly it's just absolute silence from that point of view. Never mind. You know, we shall dial up Annette and see if we can reach her before the news, because again, so much packed in. Registering for Future 2.0, what's the process, Matt? No, Sam, I should say.
Matt is my colleague, yes.
No, exactly. Yeah, easily confused.
Registering, yep. You just email straight at events@lincoln.ac.uk how many spaces you'd like to book onto, and hopefully a time as well. We like to do our slots 10 to 11, 11 till 12, up to 3 o'clock. So the event runs from 10 till 3 in total.
Excellent. Hopefully we'll be back with Annette Andre after this. Rock and roll.
It's blood. At the top you get the cream of the crop. Image seekers, they're on wheel to wheel. This week break, well next week, who knows. Oh, don't you tell me it's blood. Oh, don't you tell me it's tough.
We know Annette Andre's a star. It's not a case of being awkward. She's back with us now, Annette. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Excellent. Just finally then, a final word from Sam. This event, Future Time 2.0, it is absolutely free.
Absolutely free, yep. All our events tend to be free, great lives, open days, of course, and all that.
Fantastic. Time is tight as ever. Annette, what are you going to share with us for the audio missive for October 2017?
Well, I'm not doing my usual letter this time, as you know. I thought I'd just give you a little bit of a rundown on our day at Port Mirren.
That's what we wanted to talk about. That's because, of course, in the original series, which we just described, it's your funeral. Indeed, I'll pull this up as you're speaking for the team to actually have a look at you in that opening sequence from It's Your Funeral. You shot that in Pinewood. You never actually got in the day to actually go to Port Mirren because that was all studio-based.
Yeah. That's right. They built a replica of the village in the studio. And there was a handful of people. I mean, I don't know any actors, one I met, who was lucky enough or unlucky, whatever, with Patrick and a couple of other people who actually did film some scenes in Port Mirren. And that must have been because they couldn't replicate whatever, you know, the surroundings were in the studio. But... And all the other actors I've ever worked with, none of them ever worked in Port Mirren. We all did the studio stuff. So, but it was an amazing replica because I'd never been down to Port Mirren before. And my gosh, there was the village. Just, I remembered everything, even the chess set. There was the human chess set thing and the buildings and the clock. And it was all there. And it's very beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely stunningly beautiful down there, right on the estuary, and the light. I'm a painter, so the light for me was, I thought, my gosh, how I would love to bring my paints and paint down here. The only problem is that it is almost impossible to get to. It's not really, but it's, it's a trip and a half, and I think the logistics of shooting down there at the time when they were thinking of filming would have been pretty difficult and very expensive. But we were lucky,
I mean, what was the sort of... Because, I mean, again, 5 decades, it seems like only yesterday. And, you know, the series is still generating this phenomenal scenario. I know that clearly one of our mutual colleagues, I think Tim Beddoes from Network DVD, he's kind of committed to the whole thing. There's a new Patrick McGowan-themed DVD that's coming out from that point of view. I mean, you know, clearly we've talked about your work with Roger Moore, with the Saint series, with the Persuaders, with a range of other sort of elements. Was it a case of a nostalgia trip? Were you fascinated by the connections from the whole thing? Was it just a case of, well, I didn't anticipate this kind of resonance in the 21st century for a 20th century television programme?
Well, it was a mixture of a whole lot of things. I didn't expect the village to be as it was. So the village in itself is fascinating. The history of it, the whole thing. And we Jane Merrow and I took a little tour down there. We had an hour or so to spare. And with this lovely Welshman who does the tours and things and knew everything about it. And it was just fascinating about this man who 100 years or more ago bought this land for £5 and then took 50 years to build the village and using things that he'd acquired from all, I mean, huge. There was one in built into the rock. There is a gold statue of a Buddha, which apparently came from the movie Inn of the Sixth Happiness with Ingrid Bergman. And then there were facades in front of houses that he'd built, where one of the houses was a huge, huge mantelpiece that came from a stately home somewhere, and I think it had been war damaged. And he acquired it and put it on the front of the house because it was too big to go inside this house that he bought, and it looks amazing. All these things that he built and his whole this wonderful vision that he had, and it's all built on the natural landscape, into rocks and on top of rocks and using the landscape. It's fascinating. It really is. And also because it was such an amazing replica that they built in the studio, you walked in there and you suddenly thought you were back doing The Prisoner again. I expected to see Patrick pop up at any minute.
or at least a rover or a weather balloon that would actually bounce around the corner with a noise like, whatever the noises actually make. You were, of course, the watchmaker's daughter in It's Your Funeral, and again, coordinated for that. I hadn't realised Derren Nesbitt, of course, who has actually taken part in previous programmes with us back in the day, also was there. Derren, I always found as one of those actors who could actually portray sophisticated villainy with effortless style, really.
Oh, I know, he did. And I met up with Derren, I haven't seen him for years and years and years, but I met up with him earlier this year when I did one of the memorabilia shows, and we actually were sitting next to each other and was reminiscing about past, and, you know, and he's very funny. And then, of course, this time too, and he had his wife with him, whom I'd never met, and she's absolutely lovely. It was good because we all traveled together, and I hadn't seen Jane Merrow for years, and Fenella Fielding was there, a lovely Fenella Fielding who was about to turn 90. Can you believe that?
It just shows the whole notion of good morning, everybody, and the wonderful elocution that she brought to the whole world.
Yes,
in which her vowels were properly pronounced in every sense of the way.
Oh, and they still are. I mean, she's just, I'd never met her before, so I was so thrilled at meeting her, and she was just a lovely, lovely lady. She really was. And then Peter Wingard was there too. I didn't see very much of Peter. He actually isn't very well. But I did catch up with him for a short time. And, we had a quick chat about our part, because, again, that's years ago. But I used to sort of, mix with him a bit in the studios, because we were working next door to each other.
Well, absolutely. Department S, Jason King, a whole range of things there. Turning briefly to Sam. Sam, has The Prisoner passed you by, or are you familiar with the series?
I can't say that I've seen it, unfortunately, but I'll definitely be catching up tonight.
That's exactly what Amazon Prime is for.
Absolutely.
See, there's no other routine for that. Fiona and Holly, I know Hannah's was quite taken with the series. I'll tell you what, in light of clearly the current incumbent of the White House, let's have a little quick listen to the presidential speech from one of the Prisoner episodes, in which I think probably Trump actually took a lot of cues from this particular thought.
Probably.
Scary like Trump anyway, if not the actual speech itself. Let's move on. Holly, any thoughts from yourself that you'd like to sort of quiz Annette about in the remaining moments we've got?
Yeah, I've just seen a clip from It's Your Funeral. It's the funeral.
It's Your Funeral.
It's Your Funeral. Mm. What do you know what inspired your outfit there? The red and white striped top with the...
the whoever wrote the script, and Patrick... And their wardrobe, because that's what we were in. That's what you had to wear, because this was The Prisoner. This is everybody wore the same thing. It was that, yes.
you were not being unmutual. You were part of that whole sequence. I've got to ask the question, Annette. Did anybody provide you with a red and white striped jumper to wear for the event for the event itself?
No. And, I've often thought about that with all these series, that, we're having life after death with all these series. Mm. It's amazing. Not one of us ever knew that things would carry on as they have done. And so things like merchandise, we didn't have them back in those days. They didn't do things like that. We never thought about it. I never thought of, you know, keeping the top that I wore, keeping some of the scripts, the cap, other things. You can imagine. I mean, if not just to wear it, you could have auctioned it for a fortune today.
It's a whole new world, or indeed in terms of dialogue.
You are a born survivor. I am a born killer.
We were made for each other. But I fear this is where it must end. Your reflexes cannot save you now.
The late Justine Lorge there, actually, with the girl who was death. A little sample of the whole
Was that Justine, was it?
It was indeed, yes. Working our way through that. I was sad to hear that the Seattle event didn't take place, Annette, which was a pity, actually, because we were looking forward to that.
I know. It was cancelled about 2 months ago because they just didn't get the response that they were hoping for in terms of selling tickets and... They had to, you know, obviously
reach a never mind. Clearly, they didn't have Sam Biggs on the case. Sam, have you enjoyed your time on the programme today?
Absolutely. I hope you have me back.
Marvellous. That's what I'm sure we will. And you can take the wonderful world of University of Lincoln events and say to Julie Corden, we need to get Annette Andre over from the States to do a specialised piece on the whole thing. So
perhaps a great life.
Exactly. I think so. Definitely a great life. okay, over to yourself, Holly, for... Unless, Fiona, have you got any questions you want to put to Annette about life, the universe, or the prisoner?
No, just basically about the prisoner, though. Like, some of our listeners might not have seen the show before. How would you sort of describe it if they were interested in watching it?
Oh, now you've really got me, from day one, when I got the script, I didn't know what it was about. I had no idea. And I know a lot of other actors felt exactly the same way. We all went around saying, what's this about? So if anyone asks me what it is about, I usually look rather blank.
Nice. That's exactly what we want. Ambiguity. Last two questions, please, Holly.
Annette, have you enjoyed talking to us this evening?
Yes, I always do.
And will we be hearing from you soon?
I hope so, next month,
exactly.
Hopefully.
It'll be a pre- or post-Thanksgiving letter from San Diego with more Annette Andre goodness. Coming up next, we have the Moody Blues. After that, we have the 5:45 Siren News. And then it goes to Paul Zollo with Songwriters on Songwriting, Larry Nemechek with Star Trek, Phil Leonis with Los Angeles. So much good stuff. Annette Andre, we salute you.
Thanks, Alex. Thank you.
Shadow was chasing, and I looked, it wasn't there.